deepest darkness of Droman Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 43 of Flashpoint. It only seems about an hour ago that I said welcome to episode 42, and that's because I did. This is the normal format podcast for this fortnight, and we actually have a special co-host, which I'm pretty excited about, and that is Mr. Luke LePage. Luke, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. And for those that don't know, Luke is our regular columnist writing on World of Warcraft. He does a great column called Through the Mist. And so because it's been a big week for World of Warcraft, Luke's jumped in. So we'll get onto that a little bit later. And as always, we have the two sexiest men alive joining me, or joining the third sexiest man alive. And that's Ed. How are you?
Ha!
Yeah, that's Ed's new laugh, and that's the first and last time you hear it. Although I don't mind that one because it's short. And the irreplaceable Simon.
I thought you just replaced me with Luke.
We haven't actually talked about that. I did Ed tell you.
Yeah. It's all very uncomfortable.
It's a bit awkward.
Awkward.
And I hadn't even told Luke he was staying on, so that's doubly awkward.
I like the sounds of that, actually. Yeah.
And for those that listened to episode 42 on The Secret World, I actually managed to ignore Simon for the first 5 minutes in a very socially awkward, inappropriate effort by me. So even if you don't like The Secret World, it's worth listening to the first 5 minutes just for that. So let's jump straight into some Star Wars The Old Republic.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
It's been an enormous week for patch updates across all the MMOs, and Star Wars The Old Republic's no different, with 1.4 dropping, was Thursday night, wasn't it? And so that was a biggie. So let's talk about that first. I'll jump straight to you, Ed, in that what were the highlights or standouts for you with the 1.4 update?
Well, the 1.4, there were a bunch of things that went through. And a bunch of things that have thoroughly annoyed people that do PvP. You should hear some of the rants in our TeamSpeak channel. I don't actually do PvP, so I can't speak on that. But they changed a whole bunch of stuff. They changed some of the crowd control abilities so that supposedly you can't get stun locked, which means that you get stunned, and then when that stun wears off, you get stunned again, or when that stun. So you get multiple stuns on you, so you can't ever do anything. Supposedly, it was supposed to fix that. It didn't. So they're going to have to tweak that some more. The main thing that dropped, though, was a new operation, the Terror from Beyond. And it's, I don't want to spoil anything because it's kind of cool. It's somewhat different from the rest of the operations. There's a lot of mechanics involved. It's not so much a DPS race as it is, you know, if you don't do this particular thing at this particular time, the entire raid wipes. And there are some fairly significant bugs, which my guild was trying hard mode for that, and we found almost every one of them.
So is it more buggy overall than previous operations you've seen?
I wouldn't say it's more buggy. I'd actually say it's less, but the bugs that are there there's one particular one where you're facing three bosses. You have to burn them down in a specific order, because if you damage one of the bosses, he heals all the other bosses and himself. And it just, so you have to burn them down in a specific order. And we burn down the first boss, we start burning down the second boss, and all of a sudden the aggro on that boss, he starts jumping to attack the healers, to attack the DPS. and the tank can't hold aggro on him because he's ignoring the tank. We don't know whether that's a bug or whether that's intentional. If it was intentional, I want to find the guy that put that in and hurt them.
He probably no longer works for BioWare.
I don't know, but oh, we hit that. We must have tried that boss, I don't know, 15 times. And we finally burned him down the last time and the last couple of times. And then the final boss just wiped us because there's a new mechanic in there that wasn't in the regular, wasn't in the story mode. And there's a new mechanic and all of us, oh, there are mobs over there. They're casting something. Oh, the whole raid just died. Ah. Yeah, it just, ugh. Don't get me wrong. I love the operation, but geez, I hope they fix this stuff quick.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they don't do a bit of a hot fix in the next week or so. Well, he's hoping anyway.
Please.
So the end operation for you, Ed. Simon, anything that got you particularly excited?
Well, it's all kind of, it's sad, really. I'm deeply superficial, so here's the proof. The new shadows, massive improvement.
I know. What happens to the shadows? It's stupid.
It's knob polishing, I know, but... they've gotten rid of the, they're not the resource hog they were. They've gotten rid of the ridiculous degree of coarse pixelation that was occurring. So I'm not sure whether they're running it through some sort of averaging, I always mispronounce it, a logarithm, whatever,
algorithm,
math thing.
Yeah.
That thing, yeah, one of them. But it's smoothed out dramatically. And it's actually quite magical. You can just stop and watch the sun stream through the trees, through the leaves.
That's not on the ground. That's not superficial at all. That's actually about getting good immersion in the game. So you're right. I mean, that's critical.
Well, yeah, it's a quality of life thing. It doesn't address broken PvP one or whatever, but it actually makes a difference because it's something you're looking at pretty much all the time, whether you realize you're looking at it or not. Being able to hide the head slots of your companions. Big deal, I think, especially since so many pieces of headgear look like two blenders trying to have sex with a ferret. You know, there's some monstrously ugly designs out there, and the fact that you can banish them into the nether regions is good. It's very good. And, of course, being able to unify the colors so you don't end up with quite so many fruit salad disasters following you around. You know, if you get attached to your companion, you want them to look at least... Well, at least slightly less embarrassing.
Yeah,
but that's the whole point. Actually, I have just created a Sith Inquisitor companion who will be wearing nothing but the Nar Shaddaa slave gear.
Yeah. And so you want to be able to see the shadows from a cleavage better.
All right.
Yeah, I see. I picked that in one. Now, that's a really good point on the shadows because it's easy to write that off as superficial, but it's a long way off it, and that's a good one. I don't have a lot besides the group finder's had some improvements to bring it up a bit more up to scratch. I still argue it's got a little way to go, but the ability to teleport to the group finder instance at any point, just stuff like that some other unnamed games that we'll talk about later already have. So I thought that was a standout for me, and my Consular isn't getting severely nerfed. There's some changes I talked about, I think, last episode, but nothing that particularly worried me. And I have a shameful admission to make. For the first time ever in the history of this podcast, I don't think I've played Star Wars The Old Republic since last episode.
Oh, David.
And it's not through lack of interest or at all. It's just the reality of Mr. Pandaria dropping and also a bit of Secret World stuff and Guild Wars 2 stuff. And unfortunately, Star Wars came fourth in the priorities this fortnight, but it's number one over the next fortnight, I promise.
Right.
Don't believe you.
Oh, no, I'm still addicted to Matrooper. I want to get Matrooper up further. So I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
We'll look for some concrete verification of that.
And, Luke, I'm just going to ignore you for now, mate, because I'm assuming you don't play Star Wars The Old Republic.
I have.
Oh, there you go. Past,
but I haven't played for quite a while now, so.
See, there you go.
I found the group finder was lacking a bit, so it's good to hear that it's getting a bit
better. It's getting better, yeah. It is getting better. So, yeah, we won't get into a whole group finder debate. So that, yeah, 1.4. Otherwise, we'll get onto a lore update in a sec, but there was no other really significant news. Even the dev track has been quite quiet. After 1.4, there's obviously some glitches like the one Ed's mentioned, and the developers have been responding to those saying, yeah, we're working on that and so on. But there's been nothing particularly significant aside from that. So it feels like a bit of a slow news week for Star Wars The Old Republic, even though especially, an update's dropped.
Yeah, especially with the live stream. I didn't bother watching that because I assumed it would be a total non-event, which, oddly enough, it was. No insightful questions. Basically, you can't even say that it was the questions were softballed. It was just like people. It's a bit like some of the Q&As you see at gaming events, where people who obviously don't follow the game, don't read any of the releases. You know, they're just going into it with a complete level of utter ignorance and asking noob 101 questions that have been asked thousands of times before. And, of course, the dev's just, oh, yeah, we'll answer that.
What's again. A relic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. And as far as marketing and communication, I'm not going to whinge too much because we need to move on. But even with the 1.4 update, I received notification that it had gone live nearly 6 hours after it had, and I'd already had the patch notes and everything up on the site at the time the service, well, actually before the service came up, because the site went back on before the service came up. You've got to wonder about how much resources and or dedication there is to keeping in touch with sites covering Star Wars The Old Republic if they're letting you know 6 hours after the update goes live. But that's my whinge for the week, Fortnite. It's all about us, isn't it, boys?
Well, we're the ones that pay their damn wages. So, yeah, it is all about us.
Yeah.
Us. Me. Yes.
So, no, it's not about you, Ed.
I can't disagree with you there because I have been trying to follow it because I intend to play again at free to play. And I have no idea what's happening in that game, even though I look at the forums and things like that. So,
yeah, well, that's a good point.
You have to remember that the people who post in the forums are maybe 10% of the actual gamers. Maybe.
But, yeah, even from the developers. I mean, there's the dev tracker, but the dev tracker can be patchy and be full of stuff that answers very minuscule queries. And, yeah, and there's not the weekly or what became fortnightly, you know, updates. It just, yeah, I don't know, it's a little bit patchy. But anyway, enough on that. Let's jump straight over to a lore update, Ed, and it's a bit of a different one this week.
Yeah, this week I'm going to talk about something that my guild actually discussed this week, and it's something that various people have various ideas on. Cortosis. Now, before anybody starts saying one thing or another, no, it is not some rare disease. No, it is not some odd, you know, skin condition. It's a very rare brittle mineral that resists lightsabers. Makes it very powerful against Force users. Needless to say, the Jedi Order was not very happy about this, so they kept it very quiet, you know, through the history of the Jedi Order. It was actually put in Knights of the Old Republic. There were various mentions of materials that would resist lightsabers. I think one of the earliest was in one of the Star Wars novels, but I can't remember exactly which one. There are so many now that it's just not funny. The problem is that the way that they've defined it, the way that LucasArts defined cortosis, doesn't really work. Because a very rare, brittle, fibrous mineral that's hit by plasma, what's likely to happen to said, you know, very rare fibrous mineral? It's gonna melt, I think. So it won't survive more than a couple of hits from a lightsaber. The reason that people have been up in arms about this in the game, it is against the lore and all that, is that in Knights of the Old Republic, the original Knights of the Old Republic, they had to have a means that the melee weapons would be able to resist lightsabers. So they said, okay, we'll put a cortosis weave in the blade, and that will resist the lightsaber. looking at it from a physics point of view or a scientific point of view, this makes very little sense, because if you have a steel blade and you put something that's brittle in a steel blade, then the steel blade becomes brittle. And, you know, one solid force punch and the thing goes crunch and you're holding a hilt, which does you no good against a lightsaber wielder. But, whatever. It's been used in a whole bunch of different games. It was used in Dark Forces Jedi Knight 2. It's been put in a whole bunch of different books. It's been used in various things. The Grievous's Magna Guards in Episode 3, their electro staffs were, you know, Frick or Cortosis, depending on who you're talking to, listening to, or reading, because none of the authors actually bothered to apparently read anybody else's work before they wrote this. So everybody has their own idea of what Cortosis is. But basically, in Star Wars, it is a rare mineral that resists lightsabers. When a lightsaber hits something that's made of Cortosis, the lightsaber goes out. I had a really cool idea that I put in a fan fiction a while back. What if you made a bullet out of Cortosis? And then you fired the pistol at a Jedi. What's the Jedi going to do? He's going to block the bullet with his lightsaber. And his lightsaber is going to go out. And then you shoot him again with a second bullet. Bang, he's dead. Not very plot-worthy, but I think it'd be a lot of fun. Anyway, that's Cortosis, a rare mineral that resists lightsabers that nobody seems to be able to actually define properly or scientifically. If you want more, there's more available on Wikipedia. But,
is Cortosis in the game at the moment?
Yes, it is. There are various things in the game that are, say, they have Cortosis added, some of the armor, some of the weapons. Basically, any melee weapon that's not a lightsaber either has it in the description or is assumed to have that in the weave. Otherwise, lightsaber is going to cut it in half, no question. The whole point of, in Star Wars and all the movies, you see Jedi in various movies cleaving blasters in half. And in the game, you know, what's the easiest way of stopping a commando trooper? Cut his assault cannon in half. Except you can't, because his assault cannon is lined with Cortosis. Very expensive, mind you, but worth it. And I still wish I could see the look on a Sith's face if a character shot a bullet made of Cortosis at his lightsaber. And then his, you know, he just swings and his lightsaber goes out. He's like, bang, he's dead.
The look on my Sith's face would be cheerful.
he would just use the Force at that point, but still, lightsaber goes up.
I was thinking of the new expressions.
Don't get me started.
Anyway, as far as science in Star Wars being a bit patchy, I mean, that's been going a long time. You know, parsecs.
Let's not go into that today, Sly.
I just please. Did, midichlorians.
You did not say.
No, I didn't. You hallucinated the whole thing.
You did not man. Say the M word. I have one word for you, sir. Ha!
And it's all a bit kryptonite to me, really. That's the other analogy I draw with this sort of stuff.
Green, yellow, red.
Yeah, and just that whole, you know, you've got to have an antidote to the most powerful thing.
It's blue. Blue kryptonite.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, no, I think there were different coloured kryptonites, though. You're right. Yeah, there was a blue and there was another one as well. Maybe green is the kryptonite that weakens him and blue's one that does this. Anyway.
There's all different sorts that play with his emotions and things like that.
There you go. Thank you, Luke.
Let's not go into the...
I learned all about kryptonite. I was playing DC Universe.
This is why you just got to reset the universe every now and then just so you can get rid of all that crap.
We need to do a comics podcast, but that's another story.
Yes.
Thank you, Ed, as always. That was really good. Now, Ed, you're going to stay with us for the next segments until you need to run off, in which case you'll do one of your husks and then that'll be the last we'll hear of you.
I need to go now. I'm sorry,
David. Oh, that's all right. Well, you need to go now.
So, yeah. So, ha! And quick plug. So, quick plug.
Yeah.
The Avengers came out on Blu-ray. The Avengers. And yes!
Yeah, I must buy that.
It's awesome. I watched it in 3D last night. It's so good.
At the movies? Or are they still? No, I was going to say, no. They're still screening it somewhere.
Blu-ray 3D, it's actually worth the money, believe it or not.
Yes, it is well worth the money. And, oh my God. I mean, it's the Avengers. I mean, no.
There you go. So it was short and sweet for Ed this week, and I'm sorry about that. But we'll definitely catch you in a fortnight.
Not if I catch you first. Sorry, had to.
No worries, mate. See ya. So we'll continue with World of Warcraft. It's happened again. It's a WoW expansion. This time, Mists of Pandaria. Because I've been playing WoW for a lot of years now, I still get very excited about the expansion packs. And for sentimentality's sake, I bought the box again. So because I've got all my boxes, including my Warcraft 1, 2, and 3 boxes. That's how dedicated I am. And the game went live at 5 p.m. last Tuesday, Australian time. I'm going to give some impressions, but I want to throw to you, Luke, first, as someone that's probably played more WoW than I have, I'm guessing. But if you want to give us your initial impressions of the game, what you've liked. I know you did a fair bit in the beta as well. Jump in with that, and then I'll add whatever worth there is after you.
I tried to steer clear of a lot of the quest chains in the beta so that I didn't spoil it too much. And it was a good idea because I've really enjoyed leveling up. I've been playing my Alliance Rogue for the most part. I spent the first night stuck in a helicopter for about an hour and a half before we managed to get the quest completed, which was a lot of fun.
And I mean, for those unaware, the starting quests are very much are always a problem at expansions, but this one was involving circling three ships, wasn't it?
Yeah, you circled the town first, and they had to blow up the boats. So. Yeah.
And, I know there was a great screenshot posted by, I think it was WoW Insider. I know it's not called WoW Insider anymore anyway, someone sent in a screenshot of showing literally hundreds of choppers, and it was just one big blur around the circuit.
Yeah, so there's very much that going on. I think there was an unbroken chain of helicopters around the entire island in the game, so it was quite interesting. And then I leveled with a friend, so we got through a lot of the quests quite quickly. He played his priest, and he just targeted his mines here on me, and we ran through packs of mobs and stole them from everyone. So I don't think we're very popular at the moment. But no, I've really enjoyed it. The zones are quite good. I got sucked into chasing one of the storylines in the Kunlai Summit and ended up skipping a lot of that zone because it took me into the next zone. And it's a shame that Ed's not here because he would have enjoyed it because there's an insect race in here that I'm pretty sure are based off the Clickus out of Star Wars. Not Clickus. I can't remember what they're called, actually. Clickus was from the Kevin Anderson book. But they're in the Old Republic on Alderaan there. I'm pretty sure they're based very heavily on those guys.
Even with that, Ed would still hate WoW with a passion. He hates that game so much.
Fair enough. No, but it's quite good. I mean, the leveling is amazing. The quest chains are, you get sucked into them, as I said, and I haven't had that feeling in this game for a very long time. I already want to step into a raid against these insect fellows and give them what for.
Yeah, I think on the quest chains, you're absolutely right. I think they've really put a lot of thought into it and started to sit back and look at other MMOs and go, what are they doing better than us and how can we replicate it? So even some of the gameplay mechanics, there's some actually different gameplay mechanics, or not totally new ones, but just good variations on a theme. One of the favorite quests I did was, I've forgotten the actual name of it, but where you're doing snipering on people so Sully can get from one end of the village to the other.
There were a lot of fun, those quests. Yeah,
that sort of stuff. I thought, this is actually really a lot of fun, and I'm impressed that Blizzard have pulled it off with what is a bloody old software engine. I'd love a coffee. That'd be great. Wait, we have any sugar? No, that's all right. Hello. This is all part of being a family podcast. the sniping ones, what are some of the other gameplay mechanics that were... Oh, just the fact that there are now speech balloons, which is something that a number of other MMOs... So when you're going around, it says, go and speak to these four people. It's actually easier to find them now.
That's very handy, especially for the pet battle trainers have that above them. It makes them quite easy to find.
And, yeah, actually, it's pet battles. Talk a little bit about that, in that my vibe from my own guild and seeing trade chat and that, it is probably one of the most popular new aspects of the games. I haven't done it myself yet, but, you know, what's your take on pet battles?
I am thoroughly enjoying it, but I played a lot of Pokemon on the old Game Boy in my day, so I'm a bit of a Pokemon fan. And, I mean, I spent a lot of time doing that. I spent at least, I hit 86, I think, quite quickly, and then spent about 3 hours pet battling before I went back to questing.
And does pet battling pick you up XP or no?
I don't think it does because of my high-level character. I'm not sure about low-level characters completing the quests and things like that for it, because there are quests to defeat trainers in certain zones.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I was getting experience on the beta, so I'm not sure how they've gone with that. But it does definitely seem popular. I spent about 45 minutes in the hinterlands trying to get an oozling because so many people were there trying to capture them as well.
Yeah. No, I can see the appeal, and it's more just wanting to level before I get into it. But, yeah, I think they've struck gold with that one. And I'm assuming that do you need the Mists expansion to be able to do pet battles, or they've built it into the game as a whole?
I don't think that you do. I think it was on the list of things that you can do without Mist of Banner. I'm not entirely sure.
So, but there's still, it's added another aspect. So, yeah, overall, very positive impressions as well. I think they've done well. Simon, you mentioned before that you'd read somewhere that their overall sales of boxes was lower than Cataclysm.
I mean, it's obviously an early figure, and we won't hear a great deal about anything firm until the next earnings call, but 700,000 was what I've seen reported for. That's not including digital, but even if you double the digital, you're still probably only looking at about 1.6. Cataclysm was for box sales was 3.2, I believe it was.
Yeah, I'm going to make a guess here and say that you would have, for every box, you'll have two digitals. Just taking my anecdotally, my guild. I'm the only person I'm aware of that got a box, and then I know half a dozen people that got the digital download.
Mm.
So I think the digital, this is the first expansion where it will well and truly have dominated sales.
Yeah, but even at a 2-to-1, you're still looking at 2.1.
Yeah, that's right. It's still not huge.
It's still a drop, but then I think that's a drop of over 1 million. But I think that's probably reflective of just the tough economic times in general, people being a little bit more careful with their discretionary spending power.
Yeah, and I think the Christmas period plus Guild Wars 2 by Christmas will starting, you know, it'll have well and truly bedded down, and there must be a decent cohort of Guild Wars 2 players that are WoW players.
A large majority of the guild I've been playing with for about 7 years now are still in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. And they may or may not come back, but I would have thought once, you know, things are better down there and there's not quite as much new stuff to explore, that they might at least give Mists a go.
I think they probably will, because that's the home for most people who play this genre. They'll keep going out and trying the new thing. They'll play it for a while, rip through the content, but invariably they'll go back to what they know and what they love. And for most people, that's still WoW.
Yeah. It's a familiarity for sure. And, you know, if you've been invested years into it, it's that self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't want to give up on it because I put so much time into it. And, you know, I can't sit at 85 now that I know that there's a 90 option there. But I'm sad like that. I actually went for a Realm first, which I failed dismally in that I tried to be the first fisherman to get the level cap. on the Nagran server, and I got to 592 when the bastard that won it got it.
Ooh.
So I was 8 off. Yeah, dedicated myself, had it all there, ready to go, logged in right next to the fishing trainer at Manethal Harbour. So I found somewhere that was a little bit out of the way, assuming that Stormwind would lag like buggery. And that was where I made my mistake, because Stormwind actually held up under the pressure of all the logins, because they didn't require you to log in, which was another new innovation they had. So if you were sitting there at 2 minutes to five, or actually at 4 minutes to five, because they put it live early, you could be playing the game, and then you just saw in your chat messages you were now live on Mr. Pandaria or whatever it said, and the new content was live. There was no need to log out and log in again, which I thought was pretty spiffy.
I thought it went quite smoothly. I was, of course, in Stormwind near the keep, knowing how the quests work, yeah. And that was quite bad. But you know, overall, I thought it was quite a smooth transition into a new expansion.
Yeah, I assume the bastard that got the fishing, he had a daily quest to hand in to get that 2 or 3 point, 2 point head start, and then obviously just cast better than me for the got better 2 and 3 and 4 cast per skill point ratios than what I did. But I was very sad.
Yes. I wasn't too far off on leatherworking inadvertently, because there were so many corpses I spent a lot of time just skinning and ended up quite close. I was in the 580s, but everything turned green, so I gave up on it.
Yeah. I'm absolutely crap at raiding, so I thought this might be one way I can actually get a decent achievement that doesn't require actual skill. Actually, that sums up my whole gaming career.
Fishing requires skill. Don't knock fishing.
No, true, but in WoW it's not really. It's left-click, right-click, left-click, right-click. Or you press number one to cast, right-click to pick up the fish. But I enjoyed it anyway. So, Luke, overall, think it's given WoW some longevity? I know I certainly do.
I think it has. I'm 90 now on my rogue, and I've done some of the heroics and some of the scenarios. The scenarios are, we were promised that they were a bit more in-depth than the Theramore scenario that we saw, and so far they haven't been, which is a bit of a letdown. But they were fun. I don't know how many times I would actually do them, though.
Yeah. And that's I found Theramore an absolute disappointment. So, yeah, I'm hoping that some of the scenarios will be better than that. And it's interesting, they're assuming people are going to play them a bit because there are achievements under scenarios for, doing 100 scenarios and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know whether there'll be that many. There's 7 scenarios in live, I think. So, looking at...
It's a lot of repeats.
Quite a few each. I don't think I would be doing the Unga Ingu one ever again. That was quite annoying.
And, I mean, overall, the biggest concern was obviously how the whole panda thing, aside from the fact that Pandarans have been part of the lore since, the original Warcraft games, I've never had an issue with that, but just actually how they would fit as far as stylistically and stuff. I think they've done a great job. They've separated enough from the other continents, not just physically, obviously, but stylistically, that it does fit. They haven't made too much of a parody of the whole Far Eastern thing, although they go borderline on it sometimes. Sometimes it's a little bit stereotypical. But, yeah, I think overall they've done a good job.
I agree. If you look at the expansion, every single one of them has had a huge stylistic difference to the one before it. So it's not a huge surprise. The Murgushan Temple in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms looks absolutely amazing, so I'm not quite happy with that. And, it's a good thing. People, you look at it and it just looks good. Even if you don't like it, you could probably see that it's quite nice. So. But you're right about that. They could quite easily have gone onto the sort of Chinese theme a little bit quite heavily, but I think the Tillers sound to me like redneck pandas, so that was a nice little change, to be honest.
I haven't got to them yet, but yeah. No, I think, they've got the staff to be able to pull off a good thing, and I think they have. The only whinge I'd have, and I know why they've done this, because you want to experience it, but there are some parts I would really like to be able to fly, and I understand, I'm assuming at level 90 you can, but not being able to fly shits me.
It's, you do get to fly at level 90, but it is, you go from flying around at, you know, 300, 400% speed, whatever it is currently, 310 on my Rogue. So, I mean, you go from that to riding around on a bike again, and it's, yeah. It's very frustrating, especially when your quest is just above you and you've got to run around the entire mountain to get to the path. And
that's right, yeah. And I mean, I understand it makes it more organic. And I know in the vanilla WoW and Burning Crusade, you know, every keep had exactly the same layout. So you knew it, you could easily run to the top of it. They've avoided a lot of that, which is good. But yeah, the downside is it takes you longer to find things, particularly when you can't fly. But anyway, that's one of the balancing issues. So WoW, two thumbs up from me. It sounds like two thumbs up from you, Luke, unless you've got three thumbs, in which case, three.
It would probably be handy if I did, but no, just the two.
Good. Anything else we want to talk about? Wow. I mean, since launch, there's been no real news beyond, you know, there's the odd glitch that they're fixing. There's been no word. I'm assuming it's normal maintenance this Tuesday. That's about it, really.
It is, yeah. Just I've only heard positive things about monks so far. I've leveled one to the mid-20s, and I quite enjoy it, but, I mean, that's probably because it's new and fresh. So.
And did you roll a Pandaren?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I must get around to doing that too. So, and what can we expect? And feel free to say nothing because I'm sick of writing the columns, but what can we expect for future columns as far as that you're going to cover? I'm assuming some missed stuff, but, or you've just had enough and you just want me to leave you alone.
No, I was definitely not. I was going to write one this week just as a bit of a recap on the launch and things like that. But cool. We've done it in the podcast, so I might have to change that one.
No, there are a lot of people that read the site that don't listen to the podcast and vice versa, so that's fine.
Have a look at the new heroic, actually. I did Scholomance earlier. It was quite a bit of fun.
So what changes have they... I heard they changed it. What have they actually changed in it?
The first room is the same layout, but there's a boss in the middle of it and less mobs, obviously.
Okay.
And the overall instance is quite a bit smaller, although we did boss skip because I think the tank wanted a certain drop. And when he didn't get it, he decided to leave us in the lurch. That's another story. And the same bosses are in there. The six rooms on the last boss, the Dark Master Gandling, no longer have mini bosses.
Okay.
Which you probably wouldn't want in a heroic because that would just take a long, long time. And they just, all the ads come out during the fight with Gandling. And it was quite a lot of fun, that fight, actually.
I remember that one well from the original one. That one last comment then, as far as the overall, I've only played normal level dungeons because I'm sort of 80% to 87, and I've only played two of them, but they seem quite easy. I'm not struggling to get through them.
No, look, I agree. The normal mode dungeons that I did while leveling, I did each one once for the quests, were very, very easy. You didn't even have to know what the boss was going to do.
That's right, yeah.
Which is very frustrating. And I found that in Heroic, we got an achievement, which was, I'll just look it up, for the meta achievement. It was Sanguinarian. It was to kill someone with 99 stacks of a Berserk buff. And so he was hitting very hard, and our healer didn't have a problem doing it. We cleared three packs with no tank. I was 1 point under the eye level requirement when I hit 90, so I pretty much went straight into them without any problems. It seems a little bit easy.
Yeah, agreed. So I just wondering, because I'm a crap enough player, I'm thinking if I'm finding it easy, then the good players have got to be finding it a breeze. So, but if you haven't bought the expansion and you still play WoW, then definitely check it out. If you haven't played WoW for a number of years and you hate the hell out of the game from an experience in Burning Crusade or something, this is not the game that Burning Crusade was. I mean, Wrath of Lich King and Cataclysm in particular, changed a whole bunch of things in regards to skill trees, and this expansion's changed that radically again. So it's not the same game it was in Burning Crusade, and if you've still got any interest in it, it's worth a check out.
Definitely agree with that.
Simon?
Yes.
Good.
I agree with whatever it was you just said.
I know you didn't mind WoW. You've not minded WoW.
Oh, I've got nothing against WoW. I've got some very fond memories of it, and I'm still active affection for some of the areas. I will be buying a box the box version.
Yeah.
Not the collector's edition.
Favorite area, Simon. Let's do that because I love talking about that. And Gail, and I haven't mentioned, I try and mention Gail every single episode. We talked about this a while back about our favorite area that goes back. What was your favorite area,
Simon? Well, embarrassingly enough, Mulgore.
Okay. Nice open fields.
Hmm.
Luke?
I would have to go with the Plague Lands.
Yep. Okay. I'm a Westfall boy. Just from that early, very first early leveling experience, loved the whole vibe of Westfall.
Oh, it is very pretty.
In a dystopian, you know, not vampire, zombie sort of way.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, that'll do for WoW. Let's run straight into the secret world. Now, we're going to keep the secret world very brief this episode because, as I mentioned at the top of the show, episode 42 that was just released is a detailed interview with Joel. It was Bylos, wasn't it? I've forgotten now.
Bylos, yes.
Yeah, Joel Bylos, who's the game director for The Secret World, and Joel's an expat Aussie, and we had a great 40 minutes talking to him, didn't we, Simon?
We did indeed.
A very nice, genuine, transparent guy. So, yeah, definitely check out that because he gives a whole bunch of information. We will put up a transcription post from that as well, probably tomorrow evening. But The Secret World is here to stay. It's doing well. They released the issue 3 content update only a matter of weeks after the issue 2-1.
Yeah, right on schedule, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good effort. And so there seems to be momentum there. They've moved past the restructures. And as Joel says in the interview, they've actually already had 3 of those people that were laid off come back into the company, and they're hoping to bring a lot more back. There's momentum there. It's just a bloody fun game. I don't know what else to talk about The Secret World this week. Just check out episode 42. Simon, anything you want to add?
No, not without it being repetitive. If you're interested in The Secret World, and there's no reason why you shouldn't at least be curious, I would definitely have a listen to 42. Joel's, he's a very straightforward guy. There's no BS in any of his responses as far as I'm concerned. It's good because it gives you a sense of, they took a hit. They've dealt with it. They are recovering well, and it's full speed ahead. So I think it's very, very encouraging.
Absolutely. And, yeah, issue 4 sounds like it's not that far away, and there's some fascinating stuff in that, and they've got a roadmap for stuff well beyond that. And the most interesting part, and I'm probably giving away too much now, is the fact that their overall rule is looking at – they're not looking at the gear levels exceeding QL10. Well, that was my understanding, Simon, or did I totally stuff that up?
I think that's basically...
He was saying he didn't want it to be a constant scaling issue. So anyway, check it out. And this weekend, it may be too late by the time you hear this, but although with the European difference, probably by Monday afternoon you could still get in. They've got 50% off the game at the moment, so it's about US $24.99 or whatever it is to buy the game, and that includes 30 days of playtime. So it's a pretty cheap experiment to check out. They are announcing some further free trial options and what they'll be doing with those ongoing, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So it's just it's one of those games I'd hate to see go under because it's got so many deserving features.
Well, I don't think it will, in all honesty. No. I mean, if I've been quite consistent in the supporting of their games, and I think this will start to get more traction. It's just a matter of more people being aware of it, and the fact that it hasn't have anything much in the way of a promotional budget, and also trying to compete with the marketing dollar of Blizzard and Arena ArenaNet. Is it
ArenaNet? ArenaNet, yep.
You know, it's just a hell of a time to come out for a game that's really wasn't that terribly clear on exactly what it was about. And that's, I think, was one of the problems. And Joel's conceded that they're aware of things they've done wrong and admitted them. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're going to, it's going to be, it will be successful. You know, how you define successful is obviously something of a subjective matter, but I think ultimately it will be seen as successful because they have got this this approach of not having to fudge around the edges of, oh, no, we're not consolidating servers. Oh, sorry, we're not merging servers. No, blah, 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 blah. No, we're not doing that. Look over there. Look, it's Squirrel.
Well, like, it's bad.
Like certain other companies do.
Yeah, well, I was about to say the marketing issue about it, because it was an unknown quantity, you can take a really well-known quantity, i.e. Star Wars, and still manage not to promote it effectively.
Yeah,
so, or, as we've or seen. Promote
effectively and still manage to fail.
Yeah, well, but it was a PR fail locally, and I don't mean the Electronic Arts Australia team, but as far as the allocation of resources, the Australian launch was so soft as to nearly be non-existent.
Well, it was, and considering how much capital they had ahead of time with just the anticipation and the buzz out there, and that's not all BioWare's fault. I mean, obviously, no. they had to push the game out early because of, well, things beyond their control, shall we say.
And I'm looking forward to playing now in the next fortnight to see the new Shadows. So there's something to motivate me.
Well, look, I think when the all going well, if they've actually got the how they're implementing, we're back on the Old Republic again. Oh, never mind. if they implement the changes and the roll out of the free to play, there's no reason why the game isn't going to continue to get better and better. It just depends if they actually have a clear idea of what they're doing. And that, I think, is the real problem, is that they know they've got a general idea of what they're doing, but the details are a bit fudgy. Yes. And you can't go into free-to-play with fudgy details. That's just it's going to be a disaster if they do that.
Fudgy details would be a good name for a band, though.
It would.
Or an album. All right, so that's The Secret World, and we'll do an even quicker segue into Guild Wars 2. This is going to be super short because I've definitely played, although I've only managed to get my Mesmer all the way from level 10 to level 12, but I've obviously played some. And I know you haven't had a chance in the last 2 weeks.
Guild Wars 2, it's still there.
There you go.
There we go. And that's all I've got to say.
Quote him on that. And Luke, you're not playing at the moment?
No, I haven't played since the launch of Myst, but I was quite enjoying the game.
Yeah.
Don't have too much to say about that because I haven't done all that much in it.
I mean, and look, the servers have been up most of the time. I like ArenaNet's approach to providing updates. They tend to be small and regular. About every 4 or 5 days they're releasing or updating patching the game. There's a fascinating, and I'll link to it in the show notes, there's a fascinating post from their ArenaNet's president on account security. He's got some fascinating insights on the level of hacking attempts they cop, how they manage that. They've got a database now where they align people's, if someone's tried to, like if a hacker's tried an email address that is from someone that hasn't joined the game yet, and has used a password with it, when that person does end up joining Guild Wars 2, it won't allow them to set that password because a hacker's tried it previously. And that's matched against email addresses. That's some, you know, serious database wrangling alone there. So they seem to be doing stuff. They need an authenticator. They need to do a little bit more in that area. But overall, the game seems to be going very smoothly.
Just actually on the subject of authenticators, for any of you out there that have got authenticators on your mobile phone, remember that you will need to either contact the game website and deactivate the authenticator off, so the one on your phone is no longer active. If you're going to buy a new phone, perhaps, you know, certain companies have released, you may not have heard,
okay,
new phone recently. So if you're going to get a new phone and stick the reinstall the authenticator, it's going to be treated as a new authenticator unless you're restoring from a backup of your old phone.
Yeah, which is what I do. Because I was going to say, I didn't have that issue last time I upgraded, but yeah, I could see it would be.
But some people, yeah. And that, the same goes if you're upgrading to iOS 6 or Jelly Bean or such. So
yeah.
If you're not already aware of that, it's a good thing to be aware of, because otherwise you're going to end up having to fax birth certificates and things to Blizzard.
True. Good point. You've made lots of good points tonight, as usual.
Have I? Oh, good. I'm glad I have one function.
So we'll wrap it up there. Is there anything anyone wants to mention as a last hurrah before we go? Luke?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, excellent. We're not going to talk footy. No, I'm going to avoid that whole conversation. But it sounds like we need to do a comics podcast, because you know lots about kryptonite. But thank you for coming, Luke. And yeah, thanks for all your writing. And we'll definitely get you back on at some stage in the future to talk more WoW, because there's certainly no shortage of stuff happening there.
That would be good. I enjoyed it.
And Simon, any last bit, any brief snippet of Marvel Heroes information?
No.
I saw that.
No, I tell a lie. October 1st, the open beta applications are going to start for that. So basically, October 1st, I'm not even sure what time zone it is, some US time zone. What is it? I think it's actually Pacific,
okay,
from memory, Pacific or Mountain Standard. Go to the Marvel Heroes website, and from October 1st on, you'll be able to create a profile and apply for the open beta. So, yes, do that, because by the time you listen to this, you'll be able to go to the website and do that. So marvelheroes.com. Go there and create your profile and apply for the beta, because I will.
Yeah, I saw some new screenshots during the week of the Avengers out on the street fighting, or there might have been a video as well. It still looks pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all there is to say about it. It's going to be good.
I have nothing else beyond, if you've got kids and you want to, or you're a kid yourself and you want a good animated movie, Hotel Transylvania is quite good.
And the season 5 of the Clone Wars is starting to hit the Cartoon Network. So if you or the kids enjoy that, it's a good thing to huddle around the ye olde TV for 30 minutes.
And you need to watch Archer on ABC 2 or on iView, but definitely not, with the kids.
No, definitely not. Or you're going to have a lot of splaining to do to them.
All right, thanks to you again to you both, and we'll be back in a fortnight for episode 44. I feel like we should take a month off after knocking off 2 episodes in an evening. But we'll be back in a fortnight, and we'll talk to you then.
See ya.
See you later.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.